this on?
Nope.
Nope.
Clara?
This one is.
Did you turn this on?
You can use this one.
They can't hear me. Imagine that.
Oh, come on, Marley.
Don't be laughing. Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see so many people today, and I'm really sort of sorry to interrupt the fellowship. Everybody seemed like they were having a great time getting to say hi, and long time no see, and welcome to spring. And so I know that. That's what Clara's getting on. It's not on, Carol.
It's on the microphone.
This one is on.
I'm going to take that as a personal affront. Just step right over there. Okay, so what I said already before. Just want to make a few announcements this morning. As I said, we are beginning of April. We're also, that means approaching Holy Week. So the first thing I want to do is outline our schedule for that week. We start with Palm Sunday a week from today at our regular worship service time. Then that Thursday is Maundy Thursday. We will have a 7 o'clock evening service here with communion for Maundy Thursday. We will also have Friday the 15th, which is Good Friday, a 7 o'clock Tenebrae service here in our sanctuary. And then Sunday morning the 17th, which is Easter Sunday, we will gather for our annual Easter brunch about 9:15, 9:30 over in Fellowship Hall. And then we will move over here for our 10:30 worship service for Easter. So please join us for any and all of those services. We're looking forward to celebrating yet another spring, and it's nice that Easter's a little bit later this year. Maybe we'll have some sunshine by then. Along with Easter, we will have memorial flowers as we do every year. There is a sign-up sheet on the table in the back. Unfortunately, due to supply chain issues as a result of COVID, today's the last day to order those flowers. So if you want memorial flowers, please order today. There are lilies, hyacinths in two colors, and tulips in, I think, three colors. They will be available for pickup after the worship service on Easter, and checks should be made payable to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church with the notation that the payment is for flowers, and it can go in the collection plate. Enough said about that. Next Sunday, Palm Sunday, we will be taking up the One Great Hour of Sharing offering. Again, this is one of the few offerings that is sponsored by Presbytery. We do that every year, and there are different causes supported by the Presbyterian Fund that are funded through our donations to One Great Hour of Sharing. There will be envelopes in the pew next Sunday that you can use to make those donations. Again, if you're just going to drop a check, please mark the check that it's for One Great Hour of Sharing. You can make the checks payable to the church, and then we'll send one check from the church if you would prefer to do it that way. So please think about that as you're planning your offering for next Sunday. Next Sunday, also on Palm Sunday, because we don't have enough going on, we will be welcoming some new members, so please come and join us as we welcome new members and grow our little family a little bit bigger, so we're looking forward to that. And I'm trying to think if I missed anything. Wednesday this week is the final Lenten Wednesday service. It will be at the Bethel Church in Monroeville. If you would like to go and you would like to carpool, reach out to Kristen and you can make arrangements to travel with her. I know Monroeville sounds like it's the other part of the world. I was fortunate enough to attend this past Wednesday for the first time, and I would say that if you haven't been to one of these services, it would really be worth it to try one out. And since this is your last chance, you might want to plan a trip to Monroeville Wednesday evening. I think that's it. Just want to welcome Debbie Soa with us today. Debbie has been with us before, and we welcome her back. And there is an anthem in the bulletin, and just so you know, that will be Mickey's Debbie's solo, so we look forward to hearing Debbie. Also, excuse me. We want to welcome back Tripp Torbert. Tripp was here with us earlier in the year, and his bio is in the bulletin. We welcome his family. They are also with us today, so it's nice to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. And I think that's it. Did I miss one? Okay. Thank you. Have a good day.
Friends, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us worship God. The hymn is number 31, Let Us With a Gladsome Mind. Let us join in our prayer confession found printed in your bulletin. Let us pray together. Merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. As a parent welcomes home a wayward child, so God embraces all who return in true repentance. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Through the waters of baptism, we have died with Christ and are raised with him. In gratitude, in faith, we'll walk the way of Christ. Let us say what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. This is the time that Presbyterians greet one another in the name of Jesus Christ and share the love that he has for all of us. We've gotten to the point where at least we're all together we can do this, because it's really tough to do it on a screen. So anyhow, if you would greet each other this beautiful morning. This morning is adapted from the words of Psalm 1. Let us pray. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or take the paths that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. Eternal God, the days and the nights pass too quickly by sometimes, and it can be hard for us to get our balance. It is difficult to know which of the paths that lie before us is the best one, which one of them truly leads to the kind of lives we want to lead. We praise you for your gracious words of Holy Scripture, setting out those things that are good and fulfilling, what is best for us as your children, best as neighbors to our brothers and sisters. Open our eyes that we might see how your words might be put into action in our lives this day, in all that we do. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. Lord, your promise is that as we try better to be faithful to you and to each other, we will find that our own lives are enriched even more. As we try to do the right thing, the courageous thing, We will see that you can and in fact be at work in and through us. Lord, we are your hands and feet and hearts and minds in this world. Grant that we would see our lives in a larger context as part of your plan for this small corner of your good creation. The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. God of truth, Lord of justice, help us to know that our work in your name is not in vain, that what we say and what we do, both in large things and in very small things, can be part of the healing of lives, those we can see up close, those that are important to us, and those at a farther remove. Be with us. Be with those we know and love. Be especially with teachers and students who face so many challenges these days. Be with Kathy. Be with all those who are seeking peace and comfort in these trying times. Be with those who are suffering the ravages of conflicts, and especially be with those who are seeking the ways of peace and justice. Lord, you have given us every good and perfect gift to be used in the service of our friends and neighbors near and far. Bless us in our work every day. For we ask these things in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord, who taught us to pray when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The hymn is number 846, Fight the Good Fight.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I preached in a number of different churches, not all of them Presbyterian. Presbyterians are marked by the fact that they always take an offering. The good news is that the offering is our chance to show that we have confidence in the community of faith for its mission of hope and reconciliation, and for doing God's work in this corner of the kingdom. Let us receive the morning offering. Receive these offerings, the work of our hands. Use them for the upbuilding of your kingdom in this place and for the spreading of the good news of Jesus Christ near and far. For we ask it in his name. Amen. Please be seated. So I hear that you're taking a collection for Easter flowers. When I first started the church I served in Pittsburgh, I didn't realize just what a deal that was. And so people contributed money for Easter flowers. They had a central pulpit. And I came in on Easter morning and there was a mound of lilies, various kinds, starting from the floor and coming up this big. What I forgot to tell them is that there are certain kinds of lilies that I'm allergic to. So here I am trying to give good news of Jesus Christ rising from the dead, and I am dying up here. My nose is running, my eyes are watering, and I'm trying to stand back from the flowers in order to give good news. I tell you, that was some morning. Hyacinths are worse. They did that the next year, so they didn't have the tulips. Hyacinths. You have one hyacinth in the room and you can smell it all over, I swear. Hyacinths are outside plants, you know. All right. I had to get that in. That was just... The psalmist says, "Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of old, things that we have heard and known that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and his might and the wonders that he has done." It's the opening of Psalm 78. I love it. It's at the heart of Scripture. I'm going to tell you a story, it says, and it will be the truth. It tells us that people remember stories. That's why Jesus didn't talk much theology. No lectures on the structure of the universe. He told them the kingdom of God was like a treasure hidden in a field, like a mustard seed or a smidgen of yeast. Jesus was schooled in the great stories of the Hebrew faith. One of those stories is the account of David and Goliath. As a kid, I could just see it. The whole scene complete with armies and banners and all that. I didn't worry about the spiritual implications, at least not then. I just enjoyed the story. Here's how it opens. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. Saul and the Israelites gathered and encamped in the valley of Elah and formed ranks against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on the mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on the mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron. And his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have you come out to draw up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And he said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed, greatly afraid. Now, David was the youngest of 8 sons of Jesse. 3 eldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Jesse said to his son David, "Take for your brothers this measure of parched grain and see how they fare." David rose early, left the sheep with a keeper, took the provisions and went. He came to the encampment of the army just as they were going forth to the battle line, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David ran to the ranks and greeted his brothers. And as he talked, Goliath came out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before, and David heard him. Dramatic scene. Saul and the Israelite army on the one hand, Philistines on the other. Bad guys send out their steroid-enhanced slugger, Goliath. He stands in the middle of the valley and talks trash to the Israelites. He challenges them, knowing he's the biggest guy on either side. The Israelites are impressed. And let's face it, anyone who hefts 125 pounds of armor and a huge spear deserves to be taken seriously. And there he is, taunting them day after day. It says that the Hebrews heard this and were dismayed and greatly afraid. Of course they were. Dramatic, memorable, believable. I once met my own Goliath face to face. I wasn't 2 days in the Navy when I heard about surprise inspections. It's March 1969. I was in Pensacola Aviation Officer Candidate School. And I found myself in a yellow clapboard building called INDOC Battalion. And for 2 weeks, they test you, they give you uniforms, and you get used to being yelled at a lot. This was new for me. In college, you could feel like an idiot for not understanding something, but I never did push-ups for missing an answer on a calculus test. Stories about boot camp or Legion, each a bit different, but all have somewhat the same point. You are now entering a structured environment, and you need to know immediately and dramatically just where you fit in. It's at the bottom. In those first few weeks, one of the things they love is surprise inspections. It works like this. You've just gotten back from breakfast and are changing to your marching clothes when the loudspeaker says, "This is your 15-minute warning for a room, locker, and personnel inspection." A room, locker, and personnel inspection, an RLP, is the worst kind. It means not only do you have to be presentable in your uniform, shiny belt buckle, and shoes, but your locker has to be perfectly clean and arranged, with all your clothes folded and arranged on your perfectly made bunk, and the room has to be so clean you could eat off the floor. Room, locker, personnel, all at once. We'd had one the day before. We did very badly, of course. We had to do push-ups in the sand until our arms felt like rubber. We had to do jumping jacks in the sand until the shine on our shoes was completely gone, just so we could shine them again. One of my roommates, Jackson Thomas from South Carolina, had done especially poorly. His underwear was not folded exactly 6 inches by 6 inches, and he was rewarded with 50 extra push-ups in his room. Today would be worse. Today, the inspection would be done by Marine Drill Instructor Master Sergeant Rufus Washington. Rufus had a chest full of medals for heroism. He was, or he looked like, about 6 feet six. He was known to lift candidates like us off the floor and toss them to the other side of the room. So, today, Jackson Thomas was going to have his locker perfect. He was going to have his underwear folded exactly right. He was going to have his toothbrush bristles pointing the right way. He was going to have his shaving cream nozzle cleaned out, and so on. He was going to be ready. But then, "This is your 5-minute warning for room, locker, and personnel inspection." Jackson Thomas is going to have his 3 belts laid out just right. He's going to have the blanket stretched so tight you could bounce a feather on it. He's going to have a wrinkle-less pillow. "This is your 1-minute warning for room, locker, and personnel inspection." Jackson Thomas is going to have no dust under his bunk. He's going to have no hair on his comb. He's going to have no smudges on his soap dish. "This is your 30-second warning for a room, locker, and personnel inspection." Jackson Thomas has perfect underwear. Jackson Thomas has perfectly rolled socks. Jackson Thomas has a perfectly laid out sewing kit. "This is your 15-second warning for room, locker, and personnel inspection." Everything is supposed to be quiet, and you are supposed to be standing at the foot of your bunk at parade rest, awaiting the arrival of the inspecting officer. Jackson Thomas is still in his underwear. The room, locker, and personnel inspection is commencing. Rufus Washington is standing at the head of the hall. He is listening. Rufus Washington is listening for any sound that might indicate that someone is not ready. He hears us way down at the end of the hall. We hear big, fast steps coming our way. Rufus Washington is running to greet us. Jackson Thomas ducks into the closet. Jackson Thomas is a dead man. Jackson Thomas will not survive. It flashes through my mind, how am I going to explain to his wife how he died? Rufus Washington whips into our room. I yell, "Attention on deck." Three officer candidates snap to attention. Rufus Washington takes a quick sweep. Wait a minute. One, two, three, four bunks. One, two, three candidates. Rufus Washington comes over to me. He bends over slightly so that he takes up my whole field of vision. A low rumbling growl comes out. "Where's Thomas?" I have a moral dilemma. Will I rat on my friend? Will I be a stool pigeon? You bet. I don't want to die too. At the top of my voice, it's the rule, "He's in the closet, sir." Rufus Washington does not believe it. He thinks no one would be that stupid. But he looks around and quietly steps over to the closet door. He looks around again. He whips the door open. Jackson Thomas is standing at attention in his Navy issue boxer shorts just behind the closet door. While Rufus Washington hesitates for a split second, Jackson Thomas says, "Going up, sir?" Rufus Washington stops. Rufus Washington carefully shuts the door. Rufus Washington strides out of the room and down the hall as fast as he came in. The inspection is over. 45 officer candidates about to be creamed are saved from death by Jumping Jack. Jackson Thomas changes his underwear. Here's the point. It's impossible to get ready for the inspection in only 15 minutes. You know it. They know it. The purpose of the inspection isn't the inspection. It's harassment. It's learning to act under pressure. When you're at 40,000 feet in the air and your fire warning light comes on, you have to think quickly under pressure. So you better get used to it or get out. But that really is the point, isn't it? We can all sit around and chat casually about those times we were scared. We can talk about it. But it's different now, isn't it? Now we laugh, of course. It's funny. It's funny now. Then I thought Jackson Thomas was dead meat. I thought I was dead meat. So when we read about David and Goliath, we can even visualize it. That doesn't give us inside information into the situation, does it? It doesn't give us the real gut-wrenching sense of just what a risk David took in volunteering to go out without armor to face Goliath. I don't care. Facing a heavily armed 9-foot man who wants to kill you is not my idea of a good time. Here's the here and now. Everyone has their own Goliath. There's something, you know what it is, that poses just as big a problem in your life as Goliath did to the Hebrews. Something to make us dismayed and greatly afraid. We cringe before the specter of huge government deficits and a pandemic. We're shaken by the giant, and his name is anxiety. We're shaken by the monster of corruption in high places and by those trying to separate us from our money. We're shaken by the giant, his name is greed. We're dismayed by tragic and often hyper-partisanship here and abroad. We're shaken by the giant, his name is conflict. There's an even deeper anxiety. It is the unrelenting evidence of our own mortality. We are shaken by the giant, and his name is death. Jackson Thomas was clever. His cleverness saved him and us from a large number of sand-filled push-ups. But that was then, and this is now. What will we do when we are called to account, not by a drill instructor, but by God? What will happen when cleverness no longer works? What will happen when the quick answer doesn't serve? What will happen when even a good aim with a slingshot won't work? Figure it out. The truth is that none of us is ready for the inspection. None of us are ready to face death, the ultimate Goliath, with absolute confidence in our own worthiness. The truth is that before God, before the throne of the Almighty and everlasting God, all are sinners. All fall short. The letter to the Hebrews reminds us it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yeah, not because of God, but because of our own sin. Friends, the inspection is coming, and just as surely we know we would fail. It's not that our socks aren't square, it's that our lives aren't in order. We know we can't always do the good things we want to do and wind up doing some of the evil we'd rather avoid. Of course, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not often in us. But that's why Jesus was sent, that we might have on that day someone who is on our side, one who has given his life for our sins. Oh yeah, for the time being, we have plenty of monsters around. We're surrounded by dangers, and they don't vanish just because we go to church on Sunday. Not by a long shot. But the freedom that a deep and abiding faith in Jesus Christ brings is the certainty that these are not the ultimate powers here. So, what do we do now? While all the Israelites were shaken and dismayed, David picked up his sling. Why? Sounds foolish. Didn't he get good advice? Professional soldiers wouldn't go face Goliath. He was too powerful. Didn't he believe them? David went to meet Goliath, but when he went, he didn't go alone. He went armed with the power of the Holy One of Israel. He went to face Goliath armed with the power of the Creator of the ends of the earth. That is how David overcame the fear standing in the valley. He met the earthly power of fear with the heavenly power of God. And we know how it ended. Friends, this isn't just a story. The same power that was available to David then and there is available to us here and now. How many Goliaths can be overcome today? How many will take that gut-wrenching risk today to stand up to the Goliath of pride and become reconciled with that relative or neighbor? How many will find the power of God is with them against the Goliath of selfishness, and they give joyously of their time and their talents and their treasure to help those in need? How many will find the courage to stand up to the Goliath of loneliness and reach up and reach out to life? Answer: as many as there are believers in the power of God's love. Once again, we have to do something. David did. Can we face our own Goliaths? Not by ourselves, not alone. No more than David could have. But friends, this very week, with God's help, we can. So, the message is clear. Grab your swings and get rid of that giant, whatever his name is. Get rid of it now, for the sake of the one whose name we bear, even Christ Jesus our Lord. And all the people said, Amen. Amen. The hymn, number 525, Let Us Break Bread Together. Please be seated. People of the promise, this is the joyful feast of the people of God. Men and women will come from east and west, from north and south, and sit at table in the kingdom of God. According to Luke, when our risen Lord was at table with his disciples, he took bread and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. This is the Lord's table. Our Savior invites all who know him, who trust him, and who seek to follow him to share in this feast which he has ordained. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear the words of institution as they are delivered by the Apostle Paul. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time and in this place, so that in times and places to come we might be strengthened with your Spirit. You feed us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, that we might be refreshed and renewed for your service and for our lives in this difficult and temptation-filled world. We thank you for all your gifts to us, our lives, our homes, our families, this church and its great mission of hope and faith. We come to you confident that in your great goodness, you have redeemed our lives from the pit of despair and set us free to live and to love as Christ intended. Grant us wisdom and courage to take the great gift you have offered us and to use it for your glory. Bless now these elements of bread and wine and set them apart from all common uses to the sacred use and mystery to which Christ has appointed them. As we draw near to you in this sacrament of grace, may we be given encouragement to draw close to each other so that together we might worthily magnify your holy name. We pray this in the name of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." cup of salvation. Let us pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all God's benefits. Gracious Lord, as we have received from this table set in your presence, may we also give of our lives to you and to the world Christ died to save. For we pray in his holy name. Amen. The hymn is number 450, Be Thou My Vision. Go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak and help the suffering. Honor all people. Love and serve the Lord, rejoicing in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.